Hello, and welcome to season four of the Special Ed Strategist podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Taylor, Special Education Strategist. And today we're going to take a deep dive into a topic that I don't normally talk a lot about, but I'm going to start weaving it into our solo episodes so that you as a parent will be better informed, or you as a professional will be better informed as you guide folks in terms of an IEP, an Individualized Education Program, or a 504, Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act. It's crucial to understand that Section 504 so that you are able to get the comprehensive support and service that your kiddo needs as you navigate the public school system. So if you're dying to know, spoiler alert, the key difference is that an IEP, Individualized Education Plan or Program, offers individualized educational service or specialized instruction, while a 504 plan focuses on removing any barriers to access education in the classroom. So let's get into it. Section 504, the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, is a landmark federal civil rights law designed to prevent discrimination against individuals with disabilities in any program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. For public schools, this means that it's ensuring that students with disabilities have that equal access to education and are provided with necessary accommodations and modifications to support their academic success. So unlike the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, IDEA, our federal law that focuses on IEPs and special education, Section 504 is a broader approach. So it provides accommodations to students with disabilities to help them succeed in the general education environment. According to Dr. Jane McGuire, an expert in Section 504 and accommodations, this law mandates that schools create an inclusive educational setting where all students can thrive regardless of their disability. So how does that differ from an IEP? So an IEP, for example, let's talk about a student with ADHD. An IEP would involve specialized instruction, such as explicit teaching of, say, organizational skills and focus strategies. Notice that in explicit teaching, specialized instruction. So possibly it could occur in a small group or one-to-one, and it's tailored to the student's unique learning challenges. With a 504 plan, again, with a student, for example, with ADHD, the support would focus more on accommodations like extended time on tests, preferential seating, frequent breaks during tasks to help students manage their ADHD symptoms within the general education environment without altering instructional content. So for a student that has an IEP with ADHD, they're going to have specialized instruction. Somebody's going to help specifically work with them on these skills that they need to have better educational outcomes. With a 504, it's accommodations to support. So an educator is not involved tailoring their content and their delivery. It is more of what accommodations can be put in place across the school day to support that student. Now, how is somebody eligible for a 504? How is that even determined? So determining eligibility for a 504 plan involves a thorough evaluation process. A student must have a disability that substantially limits one or more major life activities, talking about learning, reading, writing, concentrating. So this definition intentionally broad to include that wide range of physical or mental impairments that affect a student's ability to perform well in school. So the evaluation process typically includes gathering detailed information from multiple sources, so whether that's teachers, parents, medical, or psychological professionals. Schools are going to then assess the student's academic performance, take a look at the health records, any other relevant data to determine if the disability impacts their educational experience to a degree that requires accommodations. So again, IEP is going to be specialized instruction. A 504 is going to be accommodations. Does an IEP include accommodations? Yes, but the key difference there is specialized instructions versus accommodations and only accommodations that a 504 would provide. So this comprehensive review that all students who need support are going to receive the appropriate interventions. So let's talk a little bit more about accommodations that could be included in a 504 plan. So they are tailored to meet those specific needs of each student, and they can vary widely depending on the disability. So again, it could be extended time, help that student with additional time to process the information or to complete assignments, preferential seating to help support any physical needs or minimize distraction. You could have some support with organization, meaning tools to planners or organizational aids to help with those time management, modified assignments, so it could adjust the complexity or format of an assignment to match the student's needs, assistive technology like devices or software that could support that student, whether that's text to speech or an audiobook. If a student has a medical need, you would look at what types of accommodations could be put in place, whether that is a special pass to go to the health room to get a snack for low blood sugar, whether that is frequent restroom breaks, whatever that may be, to help support that student so that they can access their education during the school day within the general education environment. So they're designed to ensure that a student can fully participate in that environment, enabling them so that they can perform at their best, despite whatever may be impacting or limiting them. So how does one actually even request a 504? So requesting a 504 plan involves a couple of things. First, as a parent, you're going to initiate the process. You're going to contact your child's school, express your concerns about the educational needs. Always do that in writing. If it's not in writing, it didn't happen. That way you have documentation of when you made this request. The school will then conduct a comprehensive evaluation to determine if the student qualifies for that 504. Dr. Harris, another expert in 504, points out that it's crucial for us to determine whether a 504 plan is necessary. So if the student is found eligible, the school is going to collaborate with the parents. They're going to develop a plan that details those specific accommodations and supports needed. It's important for parents. I want you to always stay involved, follow up to ensure that the plan is effectively implemented and that their kiddos' needs are being met. So as a parent, it is your job. You're going to be advocating for your student. We just started a new school year, making sure that the teachers that support your student understand those accommodations, make sure they have a copy of them, make sure that your kiddo understands them so that they can start advocating for themselves and asking for certain accommodations. Especially as students get older, teachers are going to rely on the student to ask for certain accommodations. And that can get tricky, and that can be a conversation to work with your students so that they can properly advocate why and what they need so that they can be better successful in accessing their education. Under 504, parents have rights just like you would under an IEP. Parents and students are granted these important rights for ensuring that their students receive the support they needed. It is a document, it is a legal document, so we want to make sure that we're understanding what the rights are for the student, for the parent, so that you can be better informed to provide that action and support for your kiddo. So again, as a parent, you have the right to be informed of an evaluation and any placement decisions. So schools must communicate clearly about decisions made regarding your kiddo's eligibility and the accommodations being provided. You always, as a parent, have the right to participate in the meeting that is going to involve discussions about a 504 and its implementation. You, as a parent, also have rights to access your educational records of your kiddo. You can review your child's records so that you understand what is in them. Each school is going to have a certain way for you to request and to review those records. You can always ask with the school what that process looks like. It's freedom of information of your kiddo, and so you can follow their policies in order to access and review those records. You also have the right to appeal any decision. So if you disagree about the accommodations provided, parents, you can always appeal those decisions. You also have a right to file a complaint. So if you believe that your kiddo's rights under the Section 504 are being violated, you can file a complaint with the school or the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights. So these rights are going to empower you to advocate effectively for your kiddo and ensure that their educational needs are being met. So before we wrap up, I want to just highlight some work of some other notable experts so that you have some resources. So again, Dr. Jane McGuire, she's a leading expert in Section 504 and accommodations in the public schools and provides invaluable insights on the implementations of these plans. Additionally, Dr. Michael Harris, known for his research on educational law and student rights, offers comprehensive guidance on navigating the complexities of 504. So thank you again for joining me. I'm excited to kick off season 4. This again is the Special Ed Strategist podcast. I hope this deep dive into 504s help provide you with that knowledge and practical tips that you can advocate for your kiddo. So as always, my goal is to support you in that advocating process for your kiddos' educational needs. I am your host, Wendy Taylor, reminding you to stay informed, stay engaged, and keep advocating for your kiddos' rights to a supportive and inclusive educational environment. Until next time, take care.